Blog Talk Radio.
New. Hey, good evening, podcast audience. Local 304, and as always, in particular, my branch, Columbus, Ohio. It's Tuesday night, 7:30. So you know what that means. Ta-da! It's time for the Kenny and Rob Injury Compensation Podcast Half Hour. Again, my name is Ken Hodge. I am the branch president of Columbus, Ohio National Postal Mail Handlers Union, along with Robert Frost. We dedicate time, research, in order that we can provide you with excellent guidance on what you should do if you're ever injured at work. Now, I make no bones when saying my concern is with the postal employees. Mr. Frost, who will be joining us any minute, his concern is with all federal employees. Now, let me start off by saying, because we study, Robert and I study injury compensation, and we try to make sure we keep ourselves in a position that we can provide you quality guidance. We kind of partnered up or unofficially teamed up with two other agencies, one being Elite Medical, and the other one is Federal Injury Centers. Now, let me tell you about the Federal Injury Center first. Two outstanding walking books of knowledge, Jeannie and Chris Helm, are regulars on the show. In fact, we're putting together an hour podcast of just Jeannie and Chris. They're going to do their Facebook show on my podcast. And we have, and again, excuse me, when it comes to Jeannie and Chris, that's my go-to source. Okay, if I'm having questions that I need definitive answers to, I'm going to contact that group, because not only will they provide answers that I'm going to provide to my listeners, but they also provide references. They are extremely employee-friendly. And when I say that, I mean they take all the drudgery out of working a claim. And when you talk to them, one conversation will let you know that you're talking to the right people. That's Federal Injury Centers. And then right here in Columbus, Ohio, we partnered up. And again, when I say we partnered up, again, Rob and I acting as independents. We haven't partnered up with Federal Injury Center or Elite Medical as a part of the National Postal Mail Handlers Union. Understand this. Because I am a branch president, the National Postal Mail Handlers Union do not back or do not have a partnership with Elite Medical or Federal Injury Centers at this time. But trust me, the knowledge that both of these organizations provide, we need to make room for them in Local 304. And I'm sorry, getting back to Elite Medical. Right here in the city of Columbus, Ohio, there's a facility. My point of contact in that facility is none other than the Ohio State's awesome defensive back, Antonio Smith. Now, let me tell you about Elite Medical. Elite Medical, not only are they a full rehabilitation center, they have an on-site injury compensation doctor, and I got to tell you, it don't get no gooder. Yes, it would have been so much better for me to say it doesn't get any better, but I wanted you to feel that statement. It don't get no gooder. We have Elite Medical right downtown Columbus, and not only do they have an injury compensation doctor in-house, they have in-house therapy, but they also have in-house claims management. So once you get injured and you feel the need that you want to file a claim, et cetera, et cetera. Once you contact Elite Medical in Columbus, Ohio, they will walk you through everything. And again, Federal Injury Centers, that's my main source, but they don't currently have facilities in Columbus, Ohio. And when they do, we're definitely jumping on board. But right now we have Elite Medical, outstanding facility, right here in Columbus, Ohio. Okay, tonight's podcast, what I did was I went online and I took a couple of questions from online and that were mailed to me. And we're just going to take a little time and just talk about some basic injury compensation. I've got a few questions that I'm going to read and answer. If Rob will join us, he'll chime right in also. Okay, first question is, what should I do if I'm injured on the job? Pretty basic question. Depending on who you ask that question, you may get several answers. Here's the answer coming from the Kenny and Rob Injury Compensation Podcast. There are three things to do if you are injured on the job. Report the injury to your supervisor, request to see a doctor, and request and complete a workers' compensation claim form. We're talking CA1 or CA, well, injured on the job, we're talking a CA1. So again, even though you've heard this numerous times from the panel on the Kenny and Rob Compensation Podcast, if you're injured at work, you want to first report the injury to your supervisor, request to see a doctor, and request and complete an injury compensation claim form. And in this case, we're talking a CA1. Now, let me tell you, folks, we have to loose ourselves of the shackles that says when I'm injured at work, I'm not going to report it because it's going to affect my transfer or it's going to affect some other quality of work life for you. I don't know any other way but to give it to you straight with no chaser. If you hurt yourself at work, it is always best to report that to a supervisor. You can report that. I always prefer report it via a CA1. And if no medical documentation is needed, guess what? That's an injury that they may not have to record on their OSHA log, because there is an OSHA log that's kept in post office. Most of them don't keep it current. And the only time they actually work that log is when it's requested as a court document. Then they'll go in and hand jam some numbers in there. But the point I'm making to you is every injury that you receive at work, I don't care if it's a banged up finger, a banged up knee, or a laceration, it doesn't matter. If it's an injury to you, you can report it while at the same time not requesting medical attention at this time. Now, let me tell you, the post office has got this neat little declination statement. I prefer not to use that. I prefer to follow CA1 with no medical attention requested. That's how I prefer to do it. That keeps it all legal because, see, that Postal Service declination statement, that's not a part of labor laws. That's some postal stuff that they've injected into the injury compensation game. So I say to you, if you're injured at work, do the CA1. And again, if it upsets your boss, they'll get over it. But you've just reported an accident, and you now have a record of your accident. My next question is, do I have to receive medical treatment from the company doctor? No, you do not. If you are injured on the job, you have a right to medical treatment. Whether you must use the company doctor, and if so, for how long, will vary by state. I'm sorry. When they say whether you must use the company doctor, you are always allowed to select your own physician. And let me tell you, that goes right to the initial injury. You can select which emergency room, the ambulance, takes you to. Now, you have to understand, if you're injured in Columbus, don't think you're going to select a emergency room in Cincinnati. Now, remember, you're injured. So we're not just going for a joyride in an ambulance. If I'm injured, I'm trying to go to the closest and the best that I know of medical facility. So you can select right from your first appointment which emergency room you go to. When they give you a paper for a follow-up, you can. That's when I suggest we contact Elite Medical. Because, see, after that first emergency room visit, whether they put you off work or return you to work, see, you now have a claim, and Elite Medical does excellent claim management for you. When you contact Brother Antonio Smith, he's going to take your claim, make sure Dr. Manfresca gets an opportunity to see you and evaluate you. And here's the beauty of that. Elite Medical, everyone there is well-versed in injury compensation, FedComp, as we like to call it. So they understand timelines. They understand treatment. They understand how to get you what you need so that they can get you, assist you in getting back to 100% full duty to continue on with the quality of your work life. So when I ask, do I have to receive medical treatment from the company doctor? You may also be able to change company doctors if you're not happy with your treatment. Your state might also grant you the right to select a doctor in advance of treating any injury, and Ohio allows you to select. What benefits am I entitled to? Well, generally, you're entitled to four basic benefits: medical treatment, disability payments, permanent disability settlements, and vocational rehabilitation. Again, if you are injured at work and you're wondering what benefits you'll be entitled to, there are four basic groups of, now again, inside each group, there's a plethora of other issues, but you are entitled to medical treatment, disability payments, permanent disability settlement, and vocational rehab. Let's talk real quick on this. Medical treatment. With the insurance company covering the bill for all treatment reasonably required to cure or alleviate the effects of the injury. Disability payments. If you are temporarily unable to work while recovering, this is a partial compensation for lost wages. Permanent disability settlement. If the injury causes permanent impairment or restrictions, with compensation based on the significance of the disability. And vocational rehabilitation, or paid training in new employment if you can't return to your usual job and the company has no alternative or modified work you can do. So again, making yourself aware of what you're entitled to is only going to benefit you. Again, you are entitled to four basic groups when it comes to benefits: medical treatment, disability payments, permanent disability settlement, and vocational rehab. Now, a lot of times you'll have an injury. And, hold on 1 second, podcast. I apologize for that. Sometimes my little, my canine, my pit bull, a.k.a. toy poodle, likes to come in the studio but doesn't like to stay. So before he starts barking, let him out. Here we go. Sorry for the segue. Who pays the benefits? Now, listen, a common misconception is that the states pay workers' compensation benefits when, in fact, it is the private insurance companies. Employers are required by law to carry workers' compensation insurance to cover employees in case they are injured on the job. Much like personal auto or fire insurance claims, workers' compensation claims are handled by an adjuster from the insurance company, and the company pays out any benefits. So even though it is an insurance adjuster post office is covered with that, with workers' compensation insurance. They still, management still acts as if anything that you are trying to accomplish or be compensated for, they still have that it's coming out of my personal pocket mentality. And because they have that mentality, they are not doing due diligence when they guide you in what should take place if you're injured at work. Can I be fired while I'm on injury compensation? Well, the basic rule is that if you are temporarily disabled on workers' comp, the employer may not discriminate against you by termination or layoff. One exception to the rule might be if it is clear through medical evidence that you'll be unable to return to your usual occupation. Another exception is if your employer needs to replace your position because of business necessities, through the burden of the employer is very high. Excuse me. Let me start that over. If the employer needs to replace your position because of business necessities, though the burden on the employer is very high, so they may instead hire a temporary employee rather than replace you. Well, let me tell you something about some old compliment strategies. If you are going to be out of work for a specific number of weeks, months, the Postal Service can document that and, with proper documentation, appeal to the compliment committee, and you can receive or be allowed to hire a casual in lieu of that person being at work. Now, I say to you again, if you are going to be out on work on a documented extended absence as a result of an on-the-job injury, the post office can quit crying about being short of personnel, and they can actually request to have your position, your bid, your duties replaced by a casual employee, non-career, until you're able to come to work. So when I ask, can you be fired if you're hurt at work, more times than not, no, you cannot be fired. What if I'm injured and can't return to my usual job? Now we go into state laws, and that may vary. But the general rule is that your employer can offer you a modified or alternate position with the possibility of slightly reduced pay depending on the job. If you refuse the accommodations, the insurance company might not be obligated to provide further job placement or training assistance. Well, let me tell you, if you are hurt at work, now, again, I'm reading you federal injury compensations, and some of this I'm going to tone down to specifically fit the United States Postal Service. If you are injured at work, the post office has a burden of the post office by rights have to find work for you to do. Now, let me tell you something. When you hear a post office, any post office say, I cannot accommodate you at work and you got hurt here, that's pretty much a terrible place to work. Look at all the sundry jobs we have that we get accomplished in a post office. Again, if you will check the mail handler contract, there are positions outlined in there for light duty. And just let me take a quick moment to, again, just remind you that there is a difference between light duty and limited duty. Please, please, please be aware of that, because most of the writings in our contract speak very highly of light duty with no real mention of limited duty. And let me say this to you. If you are hurt at work, it is limited duty. If you are hurt away from work, it is light duty. Please be able to differentiate between the two. Because if you're hurt at work and then you start reading the contract or letters from the post office and they keep referring to you as light duty, see, they're not really addressing your issue. And understand that if you are limited duty, insist that when you correspond that they address you as limited duty, because when you address an individual as a light duty request, what happens is somewhere down the line, someone can look at that. And when I say someone, labor, the DRAC team, and when they look at limited duty, they automatically shut down the thought process that you got hurt at work. And the fact that you got hurt at work means they have a greater obligation, in this case, the Postal Service, to find work and keep you employed. Do I have an overlooked industrial injury? Well. Some people may look at this next topic or this next issue we're going to talk about and say, well, Ken Hodge and Rob Frost, you're trying to bait people into filing claims. No, never that. I'm going to present situations. I'm going to present information to you, and you make the determination on if you feel you have an issue that needs to be addressed by the Department of Labor. And I asked the question, can I have an overlooked industrial injury? Sure you can. Many work-related injuries occurring on the job go overlooked by the injured employee, and some of these injuries are hearing loss, lung problems, heart attacks, hand injuries, hernias and back pain, and eye injuries. Now, let me tell you, and this is just a few. You know, we come to work, you get banged up at work. Now, let me say this to you. Even if you're working unsafe and you get hurt at work, I'm still going to report it. You should still report it. But more importantly, don't just hear the Injury Compensation Podcast. Remember that the platform, the basis of this Injury Compensation Podcast is Rob and I always encourage you to work safe. Rob and I always encourage you to become aware of safety regulations at your workplace and make sure you abide by them. For example, and I'm going to get back to overlooked industrial injuries in a minute. For example, if you know you're not supposed to pull more than one APC when you're not on a piece of pit equipment, listen to me very carefully. The Postal Service do not care about you when it comes to you injuring yourself because you are giving greater discretionary effort, meaning because we are always short employees, you take it upon yourself to attempt to do the work of two or three employees that are missing. Now, I got to tell you, while you're doing it, they're going to love you. But when you get hurt, if you get hurt, trust me, when they do that 1769, which is an accident report that they must fill out within 24 hours, they're not going to be so kind to you because now they have a situation where somebody is going to have to be at fault. I can't tell the district that I'm at fault if I'm a supervisor because I have got you spread so thin. I'm short five employees and I'm trying to motivate you to do all five jobs. No, I can't tell that to the district. What I'm going to tell the district is you are working in an unsafe manner. In other words, you're working on the dock. There should be five of you out there, but it's only one. You don't want to be out there all night. So instead of working safely, moving one piece of rolling stock at a time, you hook up three or four APCs or cages and you move them simultaneously. Well, if you get injured in the process, I'm pretty sure Post Office is not going to show you any love. Instead, they're going to show where you contributed to an unsafe work practice, thereby causing your injury. Now, let me get back to some of the overlooked industrial injuries. Hearing loss, exposure to loud noises over an extended period of time, even with hearing protection, creates a gradual loss of hearing. I just retired from the military, and I'm part of a multi-million-dollar lawsuit through a company who gave us defective hearing losses. So listen to me. If the military who gives us hearing aids while we're out there shooting a couple hundred rounds or working on Amtraks or doing whatever it is that we do, if the military recognizes a hearing loss to the point of a national lawsuit, then I'm sure the post office will also. Lung problems. Exposure to industrial chemicals over an extended time damages the lungs and causes breathing problems. Now, when we start talking about lung problems and breathing problems, everybody knows. Well, if you don't know, here's some information for you. If you're working in maintenance in industrial chemicals, every, and I like to say every chemical that the U.S. Postal Service uses or has in that building, there must be a material safety data sheet on that, on those chemicals. Now, your MSDS, material safety data sheet, that is the data sheet that is associated with those chemicals. It breaks down the chemicals. It also gives you information on should you come in contact with a chemical that you should not come in contact with. There are directions on what you should do until qualified medical attention arrives. Again, so we start talking about lung problems and exposure to industrial chemicals. If you work in maintenance and you don't have a material safety data sheet on any chemical in that building, especially if they are expecting you to work with them, you might want to contact OSHA immediately. Heart attack. Work stress can cause an attack even away from the job. You know, just because you are stressed, you know, hypothetically, because we know this isn't Columbus I'm talking about, but hypothetically, you work for some empty suits at work, supervisors who really have no clue on what's taking place around them, but they follow a good set of instructions. If you work in that environment all day and now you come home, that doesn't mean because you remove yourself from a stressful environment, that doesn't mean you remove all the stress. So very important to understand work stress can cause attacks. Hand injuries. Repetitive hand motions in many occupations can lead to wrist pain, carpal tunnel syndrome, or nerve damage. Again, if you are doing repetitive work on a daily basis and you notice that your wrists or you notice you're being affected by carpal tunnel. Now, listen to me very carefully. In a case like that, if you are feeling work or pain from an injury that you never reported, then you want to go with an occupational disease or re-injury. But listen to me very carefully, please. I cannot say this enough. If you are working and you feel a pain that has been getting worse and worse over time, and again, now when you start talking CA2 and CA2A, it's not like a CA1 because the burden of proof is now shifted to you. See, on a CA1, the burden of proof is on the company. A CA2 and a CA2A, the burden of proof is on the individual filling out that form. That's why it's very important that you have there's a few blocks on the CA2 forms that your doctor fills out. Now, if your doctor doesn't feel that your injury is associated with, and they're not going to state that. Here we go. Hernias and back pains. Lifting heavy objects and other physical exertions can put a strain on your torso. And eye injuries. Airborne irritants and eye strain can significantly impact vision. Hey, listen, real quick. Hernias and back pain. I know for a fact there was a mail handler on tour one who ran across some heavy items. And when he asked for help, the supervisors tried to belittle him into embarrassing him so that he would never ask for help again. Well, tour one, that didn't work out so well because we got a resolve that says when an employee asks for help, you're going to provide that help. And shame on you for looking at someone saying, oh, that's not heavy. I can pick that up. Yeah, you can probably pick that up, but try picking up those same type of items for 8 hours straight. Yeah, it might not be that easy for you. And we talk about eye strains. There should be eye protection provided by the Postal Service because if I get an airborne irritant or an eye strain and you have not provided me proper PPE, protective equipment, then I'm going to accuse you of being at fault. Hey, that's my podcast for this evening. I'll coordinate with my partner, Robert Frost, next week. But again, just a quick 30 minutes to always keep you updated and abreast on injury compensation. And I know a lot of times it may sound redundant, but I can never inform you enough when it comes to federal injury compensation. Hey, listen, this is Kenny Hodge signing off. Hope that some of the information that we've just provided resonates with you. And again, if you know better, do better. And if you know a lot of the information we're putting out and you have employees in your immediate area struggling, come on. Each mail handler help another mail handler. Together, we can educate the National Postal Mail Handlers Union. Hey, good night. Talk to you tomorrow night.